Reading is from Exodus chapter 24, verses 8 through 18. Moses took the blood and threw it on the people and said, "Behold the blood of the covenant of the Lord that has made you with you in accordance with all these words." Then Moses and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel went up, and they saw the God of Israel. There was under his feet, as it were, a pavement of sapphire stones, like the very heaven for clearness. And he did not lay his hand on the chief men of the people of Israel. They beheld God and ate and drank. The Lord said to Moses, "Come up to me on the mountain and wait there, that I may give you the tablet of stone with the law and the commandment, which I have written for their instruction." So Moses rose and his assistant with his assistant Joshua, and Moses went up into the mountain of God. And he said to the elders, "Wait here for us until we return to you. And behold, Aaron and Hur are with you. Whoever has a dispute, let him go to them." Then Moses went up on the mountain, and the cloud covered the mountain. The glory of the Lord dwelt on Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it 6 days. And on the seventh day, he called to Moses out of the midst of the cloud. Now at the appearance of the glory of the Lord, it was like a devouring fire on top of the mountain in the sight of the people of Israel. Moses entered the cloud and went up on the mountain. And Moses was on the mountain 40 days and 40 nights. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
If you'd please read responsibly, Psalm 2, verses 6 through 12, in your bulletin. "As for me, I have set my king on Zion, my holy hill. I will tell of the decree.
The Lord said to me, 'You are my son. Today I have begotten you.'
Ask of me, and I will make the nations your heritage, and the ends of the earth your possession.
You shall break them with a rod of iron, and dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel.
Now therefore, O kings, be wise, be warned, O rulers of the earth.
Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling.
Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and you perish in the way, for his wrath is quickly kindled.
Blessed are all who take refuge in him."
The second reading is from 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 16 through 21. "We did not follow cleverly devised myths when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For when he received honor and glory from God the Father, and the voice of was borne to him by the majestic glory, 'This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased.' We ourselves heard the very voice born from heaven, for we were with him on the holy mountain. And we have the prophetic word more fully confirmed, to which you will dwell to the dawns in the morning when the star rises in your hearts. Knowing this first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture comes from someone's own interpretation, for no prophecy was ever produced by the will of the man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. We rise for Alleluia. Alleluia, Lord, to whom shall we go? Alleluia, you have the word of eternal life. Alleluia, Alleluia. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 17th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. And after 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John, his brother, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as light. And behold, there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with him. And Peter said to Jesus, Lord, it is good that we are here. If you wish, I will make three tents here, one for you, and one for Moses, and one for Elijah. He was still speaking when, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and a voice from the cloud said, This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. When the disciples heard this, they fell on their faces and were terrified. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, Rise and have no fear. And when they lifted up their eyes, they saw no one but Jesus only. And as they were coming down the mountain, Jesus commanded them, Tell no one the vision until the Son of Man is raised from the dead. Alleluia, the gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Congregation may be seated. I invite the children that are present to come forward for a children's message. Tonight I want you to think about something as we get started, okay? Because we're coming to the end of Epiphany and then Lent is going to start, and that sometimes can be big words and stuff. But did you notice, for example, that you can have a word like Emmanuel and you can have the same word, but it can be spelled in two different ways? Did you know that? You can spell Emmanuel with an E or with an I, but regardless of how you spell it, both words are the same. They both mean the same, right? They mean God with us. Can you say that? God with us. Yeah, God with us. So tonight I want you to think about this word. Do you know what this word is? Alleluia. But sometimes they spell it like this. Hallelujah. Right? Alleluia, hallelujah. This has H's, this has a J. This one starts with the letter A. So they spell differently, but regardless of which one we use, do you know what alleluia or hallelujah means? Praise the Lord. So like right after we had the first reading, the psalm, and the second reading, then we all stood for the alleluia. Lord, to whom shall we go, right? You have the words of eternal life. And then we get to listen to Jesus and the words that he spoke that are found in the Bible. So, alleluia, hallelujah. And tonight, we're going to bury the alleluias until Easter. And then they're going to rise up again. They'll come back to us, okay? So, here's what I want you to think about. It said in our, hallelujah. It said in our second reading, that was Peter saying, I was with Jesus on the mountain, and James and John and I saw something really amazing. We saw the transfiguration of Jesus. We saw the glory of God. We saw a preview of Easter. Can you imagine that? Even before Lent, they got to see Easter, okay? Now, what does that look like to be an eyewitness? Have you ever heard of the word eyewitness? You know what an eyewitness is? Like, for example, today I went to a basketball game, right? Did you see me there? You know what I saw? I saw Scarlett make, well, at least four baskets. At least four, right? Two in the first half, two in the second. You know how come I can tell you that? Because I was there, and I saw it with my own eyes. An eyewitness, right? So Peter, James, and John, they got to see the glory of Jesus, and they didn't keep it to themselves. Peter wrote it down, and they told us about it. And you and I are eyewitnesses too. We have seen the love of Jesus. We have Jesus living in our hearts, right? So do you think God wants us, now that we've seen Jesus alive in our hearts, changing us with his love, do you think he wants us to just keep it to ourselves? You know what an eyewitness does? They see, and then what do? They tell. An eyewitness sees, and then they tell someone what they've seen with their own eyes. So I want you to help me do something tonight. Remember how I said we're going to bury our alleluias until Easter? Okay. You see all those big folks out there? They got to close their eyes, cover their eyes, and no peeking. They're going to do that, and then you guys are going to come with me, and we're going to hide or bury these two alleluias, okay? But they can't see. They got to close their eyes and no peeking. So close your eyes, no peeking. You guys come with me. Come with me. Now you never know where we might hide the Alleluia, right? But we can't say anything about it. You just come with me and we'll say, well, maybe we want to do it by, you know, somewhere by one of these pews. Maybe we want to do it in the back here. Are you guys following me? Yep. You know? Okay. And then we come over this way and you just never know where we might want to put it at, right? We'll bury the Alleluias, we'll hide them, and then we'll come back up here to the front. Let's see, here might be a good spot. Okay, come on up here and have a seat. And now the big kids can open their eyes. I hope they didn't peek, because in our gospel reading for tonight, it says, listen to him, right? So sometimes we need to listen, right? Listen to Jesus. So we buried and we hid the Alleluias, but you don't know where it is, do you? Right? You were there, but you didn't see. You weren't eyewitnesses. But the kids, you were eyewitnesses, right? And what does an eyewitness do? They see with their own eyes and then they tell people the good news, right? Right? Like praise the Lord, like Alleluia, like Easter is real, right? Huh? So, could you tell them where the Alleluia is? And one's back there, but they didn't see it. Do you believe her? That's called faith. They didn't see it, but you saw it. Just like the disciples, they saw Jesus rise from the dead. And then they wrote it down in the Bible, and they told us about it, inspired by the Holy Spirit, so that we would get to hear the good news too. They believe you. They trust you that we've buried him. You said one's over here? Yeah. See? Hallelujah. Right? Come here. Come here. And where's the other one at, Nora? You know, Scarlett? You guys know where it is? Huh? You know? Look at these eyewitnesses. Oh, my goodness. They know the good news. They don't want to keep it to themselves. Look at it. What does it say? What does it say? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on back up here. Yes. Yeah, when worship ends tonight, we're going to really bury these. In fact, I've got one for each of you. You see this word, Alleluia? Here's one for you. Look, here's one for you. Okay. Here's one for you, Hopi. Nora, there's one for you.
I think these are bookmarks.
Alleluia. Okay. Now, here's what your assignment is. Are you listening? Right? We need to listen, right? Here's your assignment. You're going to go home tonight, and between now and Wednesday, you're going to hide or bury your Alleluia. But you've got to have somebody, maybe a grandma or grandpa, maybe a good friend, maybe a brother or sister. Someone has to be an eyewitness, because when Easter comes, you might forget where you put it. So the eyewitness helps us to remember where it's at so that we don't lose our Alleluia forever. Huh?
I'm going to put it downstairs.
Okay. You heard that. You're an eyewitness. You heard it with your ears. Okay, let's pray together, okay? Let's pray. Dear Jesus, thanks for the gift of Easter. I am your eyewitness. Help me to see. And then go and tell. Amen. All right. We'll see you later. In the morning when I rise, in the morning when I rise, in the morning when I rise, give me Jesus, give me Jesus, give me Jesus. You can have all the world, but give me Jesus, Jesus only. Moses is gone, Elijah is gone, the cloud is gone, and only Jesus remains. Jesus plus nothing equals everything, and everything minus Jesus equals nothing. We celebrate the Feast of the Transfiguration of our Lord, and you probably noticed how tonight's gospel began. After 6 days. It's hard to move forward if you don't look back. In fact, it could be dangerous sometimes if a person never checks their side mirrors or their rearview mirror, because you don't know what's coming up, and maybe it's one of those lights that are flashing. But if a person is preoccupied with a rearview mirror and never looking ahead, well, you could be an accident waiting to happen. And so our gospel reading for tonight on this Transfiguration of our Lord Sunday, right? This particular service that we have invites us to look back and remember that in baptism God has made each one of us an eyewitness of the resurrection and a participant in the daily dying and rising with Jesus. You can have all the world, but give me Jesus. Moses is there, the lawgiver. Elijah is there, the great prophet. But the law and the voice of the prophets, they couldn't bring God's people into saving grace. But the Son of God, Jesus, he fulfills all righteousness, and Jesus alone is able to bring reconciliation with the Father through the work of the Holy Spirit. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the name in which we are baptized into God's kingdom, into God's belonging, so that we can each day cling to Christ like a burr on a velvet dress. There was a pastor, fresh out of seminary, got a call to his first church. Now, he was kind of, wet behind the ears. Still trying to learn the ropes. Got a phone call that a member of the congregation, a woman in her 80s, had been hospitalized and she wasn't doing well. In fact, the doctor said that she hadn't been out of bed in a week or more. She was weak and had no strength, and they didn't expect her to leave the hospital alive. And so the pastor thought, well, I need to go and bring some comfort to this particular woman. So he goes to the hospital to see her. And they kind of had chit-chat. They're just kind of having small talk. And then he says, because he's been thinking, how am I going to comfort a woman who's only maybe got days or weeks to live? So he says, before I leave, would you like me to pray with you? And the woman says, well, yes. That's why I asked you to come. I want you to pray with me. And he said, well, is there anything specifically you'd like me to pray for? And she looks at this young pastor, this kind of green pastor, right? And says, well, yeah, I want you to pray that God would heal me. Now, the pastor had been through seminary, taken the classes, studied the Bible. But it's one thing to study the Bible. It's one thing to talk about Jesus or to know something about Jesus. It's an entirely different thing to actually experience Jesus as Lord and Savior in daily life. So he said, okay, I'll pray for you. And so he did, and he kind of mumbled through the words, praying for the healing of this 80-year-old woman. And he finally, after the mumbling through it, got to the amen. And then this 80-year-old woman, who hadn't been out of bed in over a week, who was weak and frail, she sits up in bed and she said, my goodness, I believe it's working. I believe God has healed me. She jumps out of bed, she's running down the hallway of the hospital, and she's shouting, Alleluia, praise the Lord, God healed me, God healed me. Now this young pastor right out of seminary in his first call, he didn't know what to make of this. He was completely befuddled. So he kind of stumbles his way to the stairwell, descends down 5 floors, gets out into the parking lot, and as he's reaching for his keys to get into his car, he looks up to the heavens and he says, don't you do this to me again! You see, some people can't handle the glory of God or the transfiguration of our Lord. Some people can't wrap their heads around the gift of Easter and the promise that Jesus is the firstborn of the dead, the first fruits of those who just fall asleep. Our gospel reading for tonight is a preview of Easter. Before we have the imposition of ashes and remember that the wages of sin is death, before we remember our human mortality, that in Adam all die, we also look back and we remember the word of promise from God himself, the God who is always faithful. And he says, but in Christ, all shall be made alive. Do we believe it? I mean, we're eyewitnesses. We're here tonight. You heard what the children said. They said, we can tell you where the Alleluia is in case you've forgotten, in case you've never been told, in case you didn't see with your own eyes. We have seen, and we are here to do what an eyewitness does. We tell the news, the truth to others. But not everyone can handle the truth or the gift of Easter or the transfiguration of our Lord. The glimpse of glory is too overwhelming. And even Peter and James and John, when Jesus takes them up to the mountain and they see Moses and they see Elijah and they see Jesus' clothing becoming dazzling white, it's glory, glory, hallelujah. They don't know how to handle it. And so Peter says, maybe we should just freeze the moment. Maybe we should build three tents or three booths and kind of camp out here indefinitely. They don't know what to do with it. Well, eventually Peter did know. So he wrote 1 and 2 Peter, and he gave the account and said, oh, by the way, we were there. Our epistle reading for tonight. We were there, we saw it with our own eyes, and we're telling you this is not some kind of a made-up story. But of course it takes faith to believe the testimony of the eyewitnesses. You know that in 1 Corinthians 15, St. Paul is talking about the resurrection of Jesus, and he says, last of all, he appeared also to me, though I'm the least of the apostles, unfit to even be called an apostle. Last of all, he appeared to me. But first he appeared to Peter and to all the apostles and to the disciples. In fact, in case you think this is just a made-up story, on one time, in one place, he appeared to more than 500 people, many of whom are still alive. So will we believe it when the eyewitness testimony is given? Not everybody can handle the transfiguration of our Lord, or not everyone can handle being an eyewitness of the glory of God. Don't you do this to me again! That pastor out of seminary? Oh, he heard about it. But all of a sudden, when the glory was right there, the healing of an invalid that wasn't supposed to leave the hospital alive, he didn't know how to wrap his head around this. Do we believe these things are possible? Or do we think that Easter and healings and resurrection is just a pipe dream? Some of you maybe heard what happened recently to my grandson. Some of you know Micah. Micah and Jonah, they've been here before. You know they're all boy, right? You know that. Well, I was on the mission trip, and I got news. Micah was sent to the principal's office. And I thought, okay, why? I mean, did he sass the teacher? Did he get into a fist fight with somebody? He must have done something terrible, right? Well, then I found out why Micah got called into the principal's office. You know why? Because he told one of his classmates about Jesus. And that's against the rules in this public school in Denver, evidently. You can't tell one of your classmates. He's 6 years old. He's in kindergarten, for crying out loud. Right? Who makes up these rules that I'm an eyewitness and I can't bear witness to what I have seen with my own eyes? You see, someone listened to Jesus. The Great Commission. Go make disciples of all people everywhere, baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teach them to obey all that I've commanded you. Someone actually listened to Jesus. And you know what they did? They baptized Micah 5 years ago. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And someone actually listened to Jesus, his Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5. Let your light so shine before others that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Oh, I know, he was just a baby when he got baptized. But guess what? For the last 6+ years, Micah has been listening to Jesus as he is, in fact, in the community of faith, in the body of Christ, in church. He's listening to the Word of God. And evidently, this little 6-year-old has heard something important. Once you're an eyewitness, you don't keep it to yourself. You tell people about it, even if it gets you in trouble, and even if it gets you sent to the principal's office. Man, I wished I had the good courage of that little 6-year-old. Huh? Let your light so shine before others. Be bold. Be courageous. Be an eyewitness of Easter and the resurrection. You see, some people only want to build booths. Some people only want to freeze the moment. Other people want to sing the Gloria Patri. Glory to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever and ever. Alleluia, alleluia. Give glory to God, our life and our light. Huh? You see? We are eyewitnesses. It's like going to a movie theater and you say, this is such a bummer. I came to see a movie and I got to spend all this time watching these previews? And we miss out on the most important thing of all. That like in Holy Communion, we get a foretaste of the feast to come. Tonight, in the scripture readings that have been passed down by the eyewitnesses to us, we get a glimpse of the glory. We know how this story is going to end. We know about the New Jerusalem. We know that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by him. We know that Jesus is the door to the sheepfold of God. We know that he's preparing a place for us in heaven right now. And we believe it because we've got eyewitness testimony. And because our God is faithful and he does not lie. As they were descending the mountain, after they heard the voice of the Heavenly Father who spoke at the baptism of Jesus and spoke at the transfiguration and said, this is my beloved Son with whom I'm well pleased. Listen, listen, listen to him. When the voice speaks, Peter, James, and John, they're just frozen. You heard what it says. They fell on their faces. They were stiff frightened. Frightened to death. Like a stiff, like a corpse. And then did you hear what Jesus did? He touched them. Seriously, it says it in the Word of God. He touched them. And he said, rise up. That's the Easter word. That's resurrection. Rise up and don't be afraid. Be a little Micah. Don't be afraid. Just rise up in the morning every day and say, who is it that you put into my path that I can tell about the only Savior of this world? His name is Jesus. Well, I started with a story about a young pastor. Now I'll tell you about an older pastor who also did a hospital visit. This was to one of his longtime parishioners, a woman who had been from baptism on her whole life in the church, active, serving, faithful, and she had a diagnosis of cancer. And then the cancer came back with a vengeance. And so the report was is that she didn't have much time. And so this experienced pastor went to be with her. And as soon as he entered the room, trying to figure out how to comfort her, she said, I want you to do what the book of James says. I want you to call the elders of the church. And I want you to have them come and pray over me and to anoint me with oil. And the pastor looked at this older woman and he said, well, you know, it's not like hocus pocus. What you're asking me to do is, well, it sounds more like not ministry, but, you know, magic? She looked at her pastor. And that's the wonderful thing about parishioners, because they know how to be a pastor to their pastors. They do. Because they're disciples, right? Of Jesus. And she said to her pastor, you know, I already know that I'm going to die and not leave this hospital. I know that my time is short. So why do you want me to anoint you? The pastor said. Because I need to remember. Because I need a sign that death does not have the last word. I need a sign that I belong to Jesus, always have and always will, and that he's got a place for me. I need a sign that can be a testimony to those who have walked with me that Jesus is Lord. And so the elders were called, and they laid on hands, and they prayed, and they anointed her with oil, just like another pastor had done when this woman was just an infant cradled in the arms of her mom or dad. And the pastor laid the hands on and anointed this little baby and made the sign of the cross with oil. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Remember? Now, after 6 days, St. Matthew is inviting us to remember that God is faithful, that God has made a promise to each one of you, and he's put his name on it. You are baptized, you are baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. You belong to God. You've tasted the goodness of Christ. You've been washed in his blood. You're an eyewitness. You've seen the glory. You've tasted the goodness. So, what are you going to do? Listen to Jesus? And then go and tell what you have seen with your own eyes and heard with your own ears. Alleluia. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.